I'm going to open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10. Paul is at Berea, and he says, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily, to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men." Solo Scripture. For those of you who don't know what that was the cry of the Protestant Reformation. That was one of the things that set us apart as Protestants. It means that the Bible is complete, authoritative, and true. We believe in the power of Scripture. It's kind of a, as Bill said in the first service today, there was 88 million, 88,577,000 Bibles that they distributed last year. Imagine 1%, he said, of the people who got a Bible believed. How many people is that? So he didn't put that hard math on you. Sandra Whitehead sat back there and she said, "I never was any good in math." Over 800,000 people became believers through the power of God's Word. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The power of God's Word. There are many lies in our generation to discredit the power of God's Word. You know, we see people who say, "Well, the Bible is just a history book." Or we see people say the Bible was written by men and it contains errors. We see people who discredit the truth of the Bible by saying, you know, that's what they believe, but this. That's why our nation is in moral chaos right now, because we don't stand to the standard of God's Word. We have other standards that we believe are just as correct. Now, they won't ever come out and say that, but that's exactly what it is. Because if we live by the standard of God's Word, a lot of the things that are going on wouldn't be going on these days. Psalm 18, 30 and 31 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of God is flawless." The Word of God is flawless. In the New American Standard, it says the Word of God is tried. The Word of God is something you can build your life on. The Word of God is a standard that will never get less. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is tried and flawless, inerrant, no error. But you know, we have to choose to have faith in God's Word as the only authority to govern us. That's one of the decisions that we have to make. When we're seeking God, for me, the best place was always to begin to seek God in His Word. You know, we can seek God through prayer. That's great. We need to do that. If I want to learn more about God, I'm going to learn about God more than any other way in my life. I've learned about God through His Word. I can remember as a new Christian, I would sit in and I was a psychology and criminal justice major, if you can believe that, at the same time. So I sat in a class, and I can't even remember the name of it. It was deviant psychology or something like that. And that guy would lecture, and while he would lecture, I would take out the Bible back there, and I'd read the Bible all through the class. I don't think I did as well in the class as I should have, but I learned a lot about God's Word. And you know what? That's what it takes. If you want to grow in God's Word, you got to get it out, and you got to study it. Let me tell you the number one problem in our churches today. The number one problem in our churches today is that people don't know their Bible. Our church, but every church, people do not know what the Bible says, and therefore they can be led astray. You know, cults, 95% of what a cult teaches you sounds good, and it's probably right. 5%, the small 5% that a lot of people don't know is wrong is what gets you. The Church of Latter-day Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That sounds like a great place, doesn't it? The Church of Jesus Christ, yeah, I believe in that, of Latter-day Saints. Well, we're living in modern times. Yeah, I like that. You know, I've seen their commercials. They help people move in. They all seem to love one another. It all sounds good. until you get to the fact that they don't believe Jesus Christ was the revelation from God, that Joseph Smith was a later revelation and completed what Jesus didn't. And there's a lot of people believe it. You know, cults are not that far off in most of their teachings. Let me tell you something. You don't need to take what I tell you every Sunday as being the absolute gospel truth, because I'm a man. I'm going to tell you things. I'm going to tell you sometimes I don't know. I'm going to tell you other things that may be wrong. But let me tell you something. God's word is never wrong. And if you want to judge me, judging by the standard of God's word, if you say, hey, preacher, you're wrong because God's word says this, that's what you need to do. You need to stand on God's word, not on what any man says. And the problem is too many people in our churches don't know what God's word says. The most basic essential for any healthy church, for any healthy Christian, is a commitment to hearing, learning, and applying God's word. You know, I've said many times, Bible studies the heart of who we are as a church. Bible studies the strength of our church. Bible study is where we can go to church, where we can sit in a fellowship, friendship with people we know, and we can ask questions, and we can say, hey, what do you think about this? And you can get answers to your questions. I've never in 22 years had somebody stand up in the middle of my sermon and say, hey, Brother Gary, I got a question. It's harder to learn when you're not getting to ask the questions that you may have. In Bible study, you can do those things. It's essential to growth. And let me tell you this, when we reach a point that we know enough, when we lose our hunger for God's word, we'll decline spiritually. When you reach that point in your life where you say, man, I know this. It doesn't matter whether you're 15, whether you're 50, or whether you're 85. When you reach that point where you say, you know, I know enough, then you've already started down the hill. You'll lose your passion for Christ if you lose the passion for His Word. We grow spiritually by taking in God's Word. It's kind of like this week I was talking. Gerald Jordan really wanted to be here today. He's a Gideon, and he really wanted to be a part of this service. And Gerald, Francis called last night, and he's not able to take in enough nutrition over the last few weeks. If you've seen the sore on the outside, it's just as bad, or inside with the radiation, just burn him up. And he's everything he can do is just get a few sips of any liquid down, and so he's lost a lot of weight. And that's the way it is when our nutrition intake goes down, we grow weaker. When your spiritual nutrition intake goes down, when you're not putting God's word in your life, let me tell you, you are losing spiritually. And you're going to lose battles in the world because you're losing battles spiritually, because you're going to begin to think like a natural man and not like a spiritual man. And the way that you build yourself up is you take in God's word, and not only do you hear it, but you apply it. You know, there's a certain expectancy that we have to have when we get into God's word. I think sometimes we may come to church and we don't have the expectancy that God's got something to say to me today. We can come for habit. We can come for a lot of reasons. And there's always, you know, it's better to be here than not be here. But, you know, when we come through those doors, we need to be coming through the doors of our church with the attitude, God, what do you want to say to me today? Because if we don't come in with expectancy, we're going to miss what God has to say. The Bereans here, it says... that they were more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They picked up the word of God, and they got into the word of God, and they said, God, what do you have for me today? How about you? Is that the attitude of your heart towards God's word? Are you getting into God's word saying, God, what do you have for me today? Or are you saying, God, I got this. I'll call you if I need you. And that'll tell everybody around you where you are spiritually. According to Barna Research, who does a lot of the research for churches, less than 50% of Americans open their Bible in a given week. 50%, less than 50% of Americans open their Bible in a given week. 82% think that God helps those who help themselves is a scripture verse. 63% cannot name the four Gospels. You know what? In a nation where 80-plus% of the people claim to be Christian, something's not right. We need to receive the Word of God. And we need to receive it with eagerness. Not only do we need to receive it, we need to respond to it. In verse 12, it says, many of the Jews believed, as did a number of the prominent Greek women and many men. They began to live out what they learned. So many people today want to hear God's Word, but then they only want to hear God's Word to see if it matches up to what I want to do. You know, sometimes God may ask you to do something you don't want to do. But the key, if you want to hear from God, is you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to be obedient. If you're not going to be obedient, why should God say a word to you? As we are willing to be obedient, God speaks to us. Over and over again, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God's will isn't difficult. God's will isn't difficult to figure out. As you seek His face, as you seek His Word, God will show you what His will for your life is. Obedience will lead you down the right path to knowing God's will. But if you're not willing to be obedient, God's not going to reveal His will to you. The more difficult matter is our will. Are we willing to obey and do what He says? Have you ever said, you know, I know God wants me to do this, or I know God wants me to do that. Maybe you're in a certain situation. You've been praying about it, and then you say, I don't know if that's what I want to do or what I should do. The more difficult matters, are we willing to obey? Let me tell you how it works. Here's the process. First, we need to get the Bible in our head and study. Then we need to get the Bible in our heart through our willingness to obey. And finally, we need to get the Bible in our hands. God's truth informs the head. It transforms the heart, and finally it reforms the hands. The truth that we take into our head comes in by reading the Word. Attending church helps us learn the Word. But the challenge is to get past that point of learning and all the knowledge and put it into practice. We got to go a little deeper. How do I see the world differently? Because of what God has said to me. Let me ask you today, how do you see the world differently because of what God has said to you? And if you don't see the world differently, maybe we need to listen to God a little closer. You know, one of the things that we're doing here at the church is we're trying to take what we believe is scriptural principles. God desires for us as a church to be a blessing to other people. He blesses us so that we can bless others. You know, the old saying is, you are saved to serve. Well, that's one of the things we're doing with the shoe drive. We're trying to, because God has blessed us, we're trying to give others. You know, I guess last year, I remember thinking when we started this, you know, or not when we started, Martha started this a long time ago, when we got more involved last year, you know, there's going to be a lot of people take advantage of this situation. They're going to come up here driving these nice vehicles because they're going to come up here and get something for free. Let me ask you a question. First of all, whose business is that? Our business is to help people that are needy. And second of all, when I came up here last year, one of the things I quickly learned was, man, there's a lot of needy people around us. There's a lot of needy people around us. But see, if we don't get past that point in our mind where, you know, we've got our mind made up, it doesn't matter what God says, then we never get to that point of seeing the need around us. You know, one of the things that Jesus did was He came to give us a picture of what God is like. And then He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then in Matthew, He tells us, you're the salt and the light of the world. You know, He tells us that we're here to make a difference. It's not just what we know, it's what we do with what we know. What are you doing with what you know? The Scripture says this, what am I doing about it? What do I know about Scripture that's changing the way I am? When other people see me, do they see God in my life? If not, why not? And you know, then the finger can't point anywhere but back here. I can blame the whole world for why I think like I think or why I do what I do. But honestly, everything in our lives comes down to my relationship with God. Is my relationship with God changing my life? And if it's not, it's not anyone else's fault but mine. Over 50 years ago, a man was experiencing some doubts about the Bible. And he cried out in prayer, "Oh God, I do not understand it all, but I'm willing to believe it and obey it." Billy Graham later wrote, "I discovered the secret that changed my ministry. I stopped trying to prove the Bible was true. I settled in my own mind that it was. And over again, I found myself saying, 'The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says.'" And he said, "As I did that, I felt I was a voice through which the Holy Spirit was speaking. The Bible became a flame in my hands, melting the unbelief in the hearts of people and moved them to decide for Christ." Because Billy Graham came to that where he says, "The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to believe." You know, we can do what Billy Graham did. We can say, "I believe the Word of God is true, even though I don't understand every part of it." Let me tell you something. I don't understand a lot of the books of the Bible. I don't understand Daniel. I don't understand Ezekiel. I don't understand a lot about Revelation. I don't understand a lot of that stuff. I don't understand all about Leviticus. There's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand. But I'm telling you what, I believe the Bible is true. I believe the Bible is something you can build your life on. I believe the Bible is something you can build eternity on. I believe the Bible is something that can govern your relationships with other people. I believe the Bible is perfect and inerrant in all it says. Life comes down to a couple of things. Either we believe the Bible is the Word of God, or we don't. If we believe the Bible is the Word of God, then we're called to live by it, to obey it. We're either going to allow it to change us or we're not. That's going to be up to us. Let me ask you today, how does your life line up with what the Word of God says? It's your call. You choose what you believe about God and what you believe about His Word and how much of it you're going to live. What do you believe about the Bible? What does your life say you believe about the Bible? This morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says Jesus is the only way. Maybe you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior. It also says if we confess our sins, he's willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe today you need to come and ask for that cleansing, that forgiveness, knowing that no matter what you've done, God can forgive it. You may not forget it, but God will forgive it. It's up to you. If you're here today and maybe you just need to make a commitment to begin to read the Bible on a daily basis, to really say, "Hey, this is God's Word." Maybe you need to begin today to read with expectancy that God's got something to say to you through His Word. The Word of God, what do you believe about it? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for giving us Your Word. Lord, we know You will never contradict Your Word, that Your Word is truth. Pray that if there's anyone here today who, when they think about their life and how it lines up, if they need to make a decision, either to trust You as Savior, either to repent of sin, to just allow You through Your Word to change them in the way that they view the world. Lord, thank You that You will forgive. May we respond as we've heard Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.